Welcome to the podcast, everybody. First, we'd like to ask you to do a couple things. Like and share our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is...
That comes natural pod.
Could you be more excited? I don't think so. After you do that, go to iTunes, rate the podcast, and subscribe to the podcast. Now we'll get the show started. Cody.
Welcome to Comes Naturally. We are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody, and today we are joined by...
Lot more awake than Joe. Taj.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So maybe we're waiting for Mike to say your name again.
Well, I figured he was gonna. But
I fell asleep in between that pause.
High five. Today, as we warned you last week, we're gonna spoil the fuck out of Captain America: Civil War.
Yeah.
So this is your only warning. I know I'll say it later on, but if you haven't seen it yet and you care about spoilers, you should probably stop listening to this episode currently until you watch it.
Right now.
Go. And so,
for the rest of us,
here we go.
Boom.
We'll do this first. Mike's question earlier to us three. We'll start with Taj here.
All right.
What was your favorite part of the movie? I like that section in the in between the beginning
opening
and the
credits
end.
And the end credits.
The
whole
yeah.
Really.
So we're asking.
Really, I just like my favorite part of the movie was the fight sequence at the German airport.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the movie, which surprised me, I wasn't expecting this, but was just everything Black Panther.
It was a good job.
Yeah.
So cool. And we're talking about a movie that debuted a new Spider-Man.
Well done Spider-Man.
My favorite part is still the quick little, not really origin story, but the quick introduction for Black Panther in and out of the suit. Super awesome.
Mine really isn't a scene. It's actually the dialogue of the movie. And mostly in the back and forth that a lot of the characters have, you know, can you move your seat up? No.
it's
hilarious.
After when Spider-Man webs him to the ground, he looks at him and goes, "I hate you."
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
But all the characters have stuff like that in between other characters.
It's
fucking hilarious.
Whip crack wit. That's what they call it. Yeah, it's on that point though, it's so well written that you kind of forget that. Where it's coming from, but also like the jokes just kind of like hit so well because they're not like they're just like normal haha, that was funny.
Hey, I'm gonna tell Aunt Hottie that you're Spider-Man. No, don't do that.
Exactly. Yeah. Super hilarious.
Yeah.
My favorite part was the Giant Man reveal. The whole build up to it, but also the Giant Man fight was super hilarious and had one of the greatest things that Spider-Man did in the whole movie was the Star Wars reference without being able to call it Star Wars.
Yeah.
You remember the old movie Empire Strikes Back? And then of course when they're on that
snow planet.
The walking things. Well, it's like the comments
that's
like you talk
saying.
About.
Like, the dialogue right there is just amazing.
Yeah, because he says that and then you have Rhodey who says, "Jesus, Tony, how old is this kid? And he goes, "I don't know. I didn't carbon date him."
Yeah,
it's fantastic. It's just so well written for sure. But it's just like everybody did a really good job in the movie as well. Like you know, and one of my favorite things about the whole thing.
I'm gonna throw this.
Yeah, you throw this at this. Oh, I could have swore that was a water truck. it blows up. Oh my god, it's hilarious. But the thing about it, like it gets me about the whole movie. Like Joe was saying, is the clever dialogue and stuff. But the fact that like it didn't, for being a summer blockbuster, air quotes, it didn't have to dumb down anything. But it did such a good job establishing well-known characters with more depth, as well as the new characters, Spider-Man, for example, and Black Panther. And even more of like even Winter Soldier himself. More like they didn't just go, "Yep, that's Black Panther. He's cool."
The introductions felt more natural.
Yeah,
Winter Soldier in the last movie felt more like the Terminator. You know what I mean?
Just unstoppable killing machine. Yeah,
and moved on.
Had fucking lines in the entire movie.
Yeah.
This time he
everybody had
got his ass kicked a little bit. Had good dialogue. Had like a story. Yep. And it was good.
Oh, cool! Metal arm. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's something that I really did appreciate was the character development. And like you said, on both ends, old and new, because you don't see that a lot anymore.
Well, especially when you get to these, like, the summer blockbuster movies have routinely always been, like, the, you know, the...
Just the, throw them
just,
in and get,
just yeah. big spectacles or whatever. But this one is a big spectacle, but with, like, you actually...
With depth.
Liked what they did with a lot of the characters, but also, like, they just did so well. And it has to do with the writing of it, like Joe was saying, mm-hmm. that makes you like him even more, even though, like, the ones, like, that you're, like, you really don't want to like what Tony's doing, but, like,
he's still likable
still, still Tony Stark. They kept him to his thing, but, like, they made him vulnerable still, but, like, you know, didn't cut away from the actual real Tony and that sort of stuff, but...
See, I like how you said that, though, because, like, I remember watching the movie, I was kind of more like, why is Cap being such a dick about it? You know what I mean? Like, so it did a good job of, like, they're both wrong, but they both have points.
Yeah.
You know? So they that's through character development yep. and being able to trust the actors to actually perform it properly, because that goes way beyond just delivering lines. That's, you know,
and to trust the body language. Too. And, I mean, obviously the storyline was so well done that you're emotionally involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could easily say that, you know, I agreed with one side more than the other, just, you know, on how I feel based on what they presented to me.
It's true. All right.
So whose side were you on?
I was on Cap's. I knew what he was fighting for before going into the movie. Obviously, we talked about last week where it's we don't know the exact extent to it. We can guess what it is from, like, you know, the name of the Sokovia Accords and stuff like that. What I didn't know, though, beforehand, because, again, I stayed away from the spoilers, was the reason it went into effect because of what Wanda accidentally did with Crossbones. So if you don't know... Oh,
that was brutal.
One of the most brutal... onish screen deaths that I have seen in a long time is a man being engulfed by the explosion, trapped inside magical ball of red stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And literally just screaming, but muffled by the blast and the magic that he's trapped inside. Then she tries to do what she did with the gas, throw it up above the building, but it just, she lost control of it. It blew up and took out three or four stories on a building and killed a bunch of people, including 11 Wakandians
mm-hmm.
who happened to be on a peace-loving mission or whatever, helping the, you know, people there. I mean, it's just like in, like, one of my favorite things, and Mike's said it before and everyone's saying it really, is, like, the fact that this is kind of like a makeup for Age of Ultron in a way, because Age of Ultron did have, I mean, obviously we were talking about it beforehand, it's routinely thought of as the worst movie of all of them, except for by Hollywood Reporter, but we'll go into that next week. Everyone's like, oh, it's cool, the visuals are cool, the fights are dope, but, like, really, it's, like, not the greatest. This just seems like more of, like, Marvel going, yeah, we made a mistake, but we're not going to say we made a mistake. We're just going to give you super awesome, and hopefully the shininess makes you forget what we kind of did before.
And that was... Like, we had talked about this earlier, but that was honestly a little bit of a drawback to me, because when them saying Captain America, I wanted more of, you know, what Winter Soldier was, which is just, like, this all-around great movie. This movie's really, really good, but it's
less Captain America.
Yeah, it's an Avenger movie.
It's Avengers, you know, like, it's just, Avengers Civil War, for sure.
Yeah, like, just call it, like... Call this Avengers 2. Like, this should have been Avengers 2. They can just erase that other one. That
well, see, no, Avengers Age of Ultron never had a 2 in it.
Yeah.
So technically, you could call this Avengers 2 Civil War.
And because, like, my whole thought process on
the other one's a prequel to Civil War.
Yeah. My whole thought process on the Marvel movies in general is I want every individual movie to be focused on that individual and make it a good to great storyline. And develop the character and move them forward or back, depending on what the character is. You know what I mean? And then on the Avengers movie, just bring everybody together and just make it a solid story, like passable, you know, is all I'm looking for, but make it look amazing.
You don't want plot thick. You just want to have, you know, this is the outline. So the outline is,
and try to do something different with it. That was my problem with Age of Ultron is, like, all of it we had seen in every movie. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel like there was anything new to it.
I mean, the biggest thing to me, new, I mean, it's not new, but a new look at it is the fact they were working more as a team in that one than they were even in the first Avengers. Because the first Avengers, obviously, they started off fighting with each other. But then at the end, they had to come together and kind of balance off each other's strengths. But in this one, it shows they've been working more as a team. Or in Age of Ultron, they showed they were working more as a team. And they had plans set. You know, Tony was like, Tony and Cap kind of shared the leader role. But like Tony's more of like the behind the scenes leader, and that Cap is like the leader in the field. And then this, obviously, you saw them both kind of go through. But the biggest thing I noticed when they did fight, there was no structure on either half of it. They're just like, we need to get here. They need to stop us from getting here. So go. And so, like, you know, they were separate. They were two different teams, but those teams weren't even a team. They were just like, we're going to fight because we believe what Cap is saying. But not what Iron Man's saying, and the opposite. You know, Iron Man says Cap's wrong. We're like, yes, I'm going to go with what Tony said. So,
well, it wasn't fight, even more just go with what Tony said. It was like, oh, Winter Soldier just killed all these fucking people, and you keep like getting him away from being
Of course.
Which,
well, I mean, it's Tony, what Tony's saying is right, and Cap is wrong. But it's obviously the plot of the movie. Spoilers tells you that's actually not what happens.
No.
It's been orchestrated by somebody else.
Well, the plot of the movie had been orchestrated by somebody else. Winter Soldier still has killed a lot of innocent people.
Well, but like the Tony Winter Stark's Soldier parents. Did, but yeah, but like, you know, Bucky is a pawn, you know, in the whole thing.
Yeah, he's been a pawn for the whole time, you know.
That's what I mean. Is like, Winter Soldier killed people.
But that was part of the conflict. Like, you know, do you treat him as the person that killed all these people, or do you treat him just as the tool?
Yeah, you don't yell at a gun because it shot somebody.
And this goes back to...
You son of a bitch.
You do.
No, you don't.
We're not in the Trump's United States of America yet.
Yet.
But the whole Captain's... problem with everything really stemmed all the way back to Winter Soldier, is him not trusting Nick Fury's plans.
Well, it goes all the way back to first Avengers.
Yeah, to the first one, but like really lays it on thick in Winter Soldier when he's not trusting, like, being under the government watch, and
he doesn't want somebody telling
by
him
fear
what to do.
You know,
because I mean, even from his first movie, not to cut you off, from the first Avenger, Captain America, first Avenger. That was what he was seeing on both sides, is he saw soldiers being used as tools when, and then he himself, he even wanted to be that tool, not knowing what it was going to be. And then when it was like, shit.
Well, he saw the compromised leadership, and that made him, you know,
exactly.
Yeah, was it disenfranchised?
Yeah. You playing footsie with me?
I didn't know your foot was there. I was like, what did I just kick? I was like, was it alive before? Not really.
What do you mean, not really?
Yeah. All right, so
it's real leather.
Let's spoil the shit out of this more. So we talked about before we started the whole thing. I was completely blown away by the, we'll say, twist ending. Twist ending.
So was I, which pisses me off.
Yeah. So for the people who haven't seen it or still listening to this, don't care, but we're gonna spoil it for you. The first thing you see in the movie is Winter Soldier being activated, then going and murdering what we think is somebody in a car and stealing something
somebody's in a car.
Yeah.
And you just see
somebody, not somebodies.
Well, okay, then you see the blue packs, which to me I immediately assumed was Super Soldier serum. Because
that's what it looked like when Cap
put the... who got killed.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Like, I never made
that link. That's what I'm saying. The twist at the end is that when you find out that it's Tony Stark's parents, you're like, oh, shit. Because it was funny, because when I was watching it for the first time, it got to that point, and Colonel Zemo, not Baron yet, shows them the video, which I'm really glad they didn't do, like the whole like, oh, we shot this footage earlier, so we're just going to show you this footage. It was actually from a security camera. You got to see it.
Yeah.
And then you got to flash back to Bucky realizing what it was. What?
Conveniently placed.
Well, it was outside a gate. You saw the gate. It just happens to be lucky they had, you know, crashed it when it was. But obviously it was set up that way. So anyways, so you see it, like he's going to show it to him. You're like, why the fuck does this matter? Like, we know Bucky has killed somebody in this car to steal Super Soldier Serum. Especially we know by then, because they already tell us that's what it's for. But then you see Tony looking at her like, why the fuck is he using it? Like, what is this going to do?
Yeah.
And then it dawns on you, oh, shit.
Oh, no.
The last day he saw them,
they were
I was like, oh shit. And then he watches it, because when I was watching, I was like, I distinctly remember watching in the commercials and stuff, the fight between Cap, Bucky, and Iron Man, and that shit hasn't happened yet, and he's with them on their side. So, and then it starts playing, I was like, oh, this is where it breaks.
Yeah.
This is where that friendship doesn't get stretched thin, it literally gets snapped in four. Off. Like, they're just like, fuck you!
And also, that you Captain find out knew. Cap knew. Yeah. And never told them.
Which is where, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, it just shatters.
Like, that's why it gets broken to four, because Cap's like, yeah, no, I didn't technically know it was Bucky, but I did figure it out later, and I didn't tell you. So...
It was a little heart-wrenching. Like, not that scene specifically for
just
me.
Just Revelation.
No, but, like, after it. Because they fight it out, and it's like, okay, they fought in, you know, or at least verbally fought each other in earlier movies. Like, whatever, you know, and then they actually have a physical altercation here. But it's the point where it ends, and Cap sticks the shield into, you know, his armor and completely disintegrates him. And, you know, pulls it out, and he's about to walk away, and that's when... Tony says, you know, you don't deserve that shield, and he just drops it.
Well, then he says,
like, and then he just, that whole altercation, he just drops it and just walks off, and it's like, oh shit, that really hit, you know, home.
It's like, whoa, shit.
I think what really got me was Tony was so fucking so moved that he was willing to kill someone that he considered a very good friend.
No.
I think that he would. He
would have
so emotional. He would have really killed Captain to get to Bucky.
Now he just stopped Captain. He held back, and you can see that because what he did to Bucky when he blew his arm off with his chest,
which was awesome,
pulser. He could have done to Cap when Cap ran up with a shield if he wanted to, because he's already dispatched, we'll say, air quotes, Bucky. Cap runs at him. If he wanted to, he would just fire that again, end Cap, and then go and kill Bucky. But he didn't. He held back and only used his repulsors on his hands.
And both of them held back.
Yeah, and both of them held back. Because Cap could have fucking ended him quickly.
I know that. I was certainly on board that Cap was not trying to end Tony.
And Tony wasn't trying to kill. He would cripple Cap if he needed to.
Coming out of Tony, that, you know, I felt was directed at both of them.
Well, yes, but the rage he felt towards Cap was betrayal because he knew about his parents. But it wasn't the kind of betrayal where he was going to kill Cap. He would have like, you know, shot him in the kneecap. You know what I mean? Like, stop. Hey, sit over here. I'm gonna end your friend's life.
I wasn't Avenger until I took a shot to the knee.
Yep. It's a Skyrim thing. You wouldn't understand, Mike. Arrow to the knee. I believe that Tony was definitely not in his right mind, but he was in enough know that he held back enough. And even when he's like analyze his moves, because he knows he's not gonna beat him hand to hand, he literally could have just let him. I mean, he's just trading blows in front of him. One shot from his fucking chest would have dropped Cap maybe in two.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He held back and then beat him up in a way so he could stop him from being able to stop him from literally murdering Bucky as the way he wanted to do it. He's like, I'm going to fucking kill him. Yeah. But the other half, like with Black Panther, for Mike's point, is what I loved about that whole thing is right before that fight kind of goes off, you get Zemo's like real story of what happened, because the entire time you keep seeing him whenever they go away for, he did something horrible, then you see him, he's listening to a cell phone message, think it's his wife talking to him about a birthday for his son or daughter or whatever, right? And you're thinking, oh, he's missing it because he's out to do whatever bad mission for Hydra or whoever he's, you know, working for. Then it turns out that you get that story because Black Panther, who literally could have just kept the helmet on and murdered the shit out of that guy,
absolutely,
puts his helmet down, retracts his claws, and gives the guy a second to be like, yo, what's wrong with you? He gives him the story, which was horribly, like, sad. Like,
yeah.
Jesus, no wonder you fucking hate these guys. Like, You know, but then like you get that humanity. Like he didn't even. But then you get that justice in him. He goes, "No, you ain't getting the easy way out. You ain't shooting yourself. I am gonna bring you to justice."
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a shitty person, and I don't think that I am. But when
they'll turn in,
when he's telling his story about how his wife and son die and father. His father,
yep.
I'm not thinking, "Oh, that's the fault of the Avengers." I'm not thinking that at all.
I mean, I don't think it's the casualty of war, yes.
Yes.
But I see where, when you say that because you're a third party, but if that happened to your family and the damage that was done that killed your family was done because of something they did.
Once again, maybe I'm just overly logical.
It's like Vision said.
Yeah. It's all perspective. And to him, his entire world was destroyed because of what they did.
Place the blame solely. Yeah, but on who created
Ultron?
Exactly, because it came out that they created Ultron, they fought Ultron. It's their fault.
Exactly,
because again, he's irrational. You're saying that as a third person.
You're right.
Like in Vision says the same thing. Vision is the most impartial person you can possibly imagine.
Very true.
Except for when it comes to Wanda, because that dude's got a weird, crazy purplish red boner for Wanda.
It is not. It's gigantic.
Well, I'm sure. Well, he can make any size he wants. Yeah. He can create capes and shit, and super awesome sweater vests.
Right? So weird.
That was the worst thing I've ever seen.
No, dude, that's his thing. That's the thing. Like when you see him in the books, that's what he wears. It's hilarious to me. Him and his weird family that he created, with Wanda, of course. Sort of, kind of. But you're looking at that. Like, yes, I know that they tried to stop him from dropping a city back to Earth to destroy all mankind, but you got to realize what you like. The end of Age of Ultron, you think, yeah, that's inhabitable now. It's like destroyed, but you know they didn't get anybody off that.
No.
Yeah, there was people dying left and right. The buildings were coming down.
Yeah,
and all like it's a lot of it was collateral damage from self defense because you're blowing up a bunch of robots with people. You let a green monster run around, he's knocking building down, punching people through ships and stuff. Shit's gonna go south,
Yeah, all these buildings aren't empty.
So that just the repercussions of that you don't see, you get told, which is funny, you get told at the beginning of the movie when Tony's leaving MIT by the lady at the elevator who gives him the picture of her son, you literally are told what the end of this movie is all about, and you don't even see it coming. You
don't put it together at all.
Yep, because you're like, oh, Baron Zemo is just, or Colonel Zemo is just a fucking dick who also doesn't like the Avengers because they have too much power, and you literally, like, you think, oh, he's going to go activate these other five people, and they're going to have to fight, like, that's what's going to bring the team back together. Like, they're... Tony and Cap and Bucky are going to fight these five sociopaths that have super soldier serum in them, who are we see earlier in the movie are just completely unstable. And I was like, fuck yeah,
badass.
Super soldier fight, let's do this. Yeah. No, you walk in and dead. You see they're all gunshot to the head.
Bullets in the head.
I was like,
that was a really good twist.
Well, your it plan.
Was. And also kind of disappointing because I was really looking forward to that fight. You know? Yeah.
A little bit, but I mean, like, I thoroughly enjoyed that disappointment.
I accept that ending of them, for sure.
Oh, for sure. But when I, like you said, like, when you see it, I was like, what's your plan then?
Exactly.
I don't get your plan. You needed the code. Like, I was like, you worked to get the code words in the notebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, you activated Winter Soldier so you could see that he's a fucking, he'd drive that nail through the fissure that is already in the team and break him apart. But then, like, you go to the back, like, oh, then you're going to turn those other sociopaths that even the Hydra couldn't control, and they're going to have to fight him, right?
Put a whooping on Winter Soldier.
Nope,
for sure.
You walk in, they're fucking dead. You're like, dude, your plan is still escaping me. Yeah. And then you see what his actual plan was. You're like, oh. And then it's completely beautifully written when they finally when he's finally caught and he's in the fish tank, what Bucky was in, and
Martin Freeman.
I was going to say,
Bilbo Baggins.
Well, I was going to say Sherlock, or not Sherlock, but Dr. Watson.
Dr. Watson, there we go.
Was there talking to him, all confident and swagger, and like, your plan fell apart, stupid. You're inside the little tank. And he goes,
Did it?
And he goes, oh, shit.
Just the color change out of his face.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you really think about it, now the Avengers, minus the Secret Avengers, you really only have a crippled Rhodey, a pretty sure. Angry over the top, shell shocked Tony still.
Yeah.
You have Vision.
And that's it.
That's it, right?
Because the rest of them are incarcerated. Well, they broke out. Unquote.
Black Panther's with Cap and Bucky.
Yep.
Yeah. The Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, Spider-Man. But, Spider-Man. Yeah, he's off on his own thing, you know, in a Homecoming. But then, like, yeah, you like, you know, it's super awesome. Is like, you know, do they give, like, if Iron Man has a fourth movie, is it gonna be like a hodgepodge event, like a mini Avengers, or is it gonna be, because it's an all new story? You don't have the whole "I'm dying of metal fragments in my body" anymore, because they solved that at the end of 3.
Which is what makes you wonder where they would go with it.
Oh, they have plenty of room to go.
Yeah,
I mean, shit, fucking Mandarin's out there,
and you still have to.
I mean, like
on a personal level for Tony.
Oh, have you never seen the one shot?
Still, too.
No,
right.
Oh,
that has to get dissolved.
He ain't seen the one shot from fucking Iron Man 3.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
So when Iron Man 3 came out, they did a one shot.
One shot, and it's special features, right?
Yep. And so what it is it's basically a TV interview of Kevin, who is played by Ben Kingsley, in prison, being this like pseudo celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, you were the face of this terrorist organization, blah blah blah. And as he's doing the interview, the guy says something. He goes, "Wait, what?" And then the wall blows up, and you realize that he wasn't the actual Mandarin. Because you see a bunch of guys with the Mandarin symbol, you're like, "Uh-oh, he wasn't fake after all. He just wasn't him." It's pretty dope. So yeah, there's a lot of that, but I mean, I mean, to me at this point, because we're at the point where we have a dude who's fake, who shoots crazy laser beam out of his forehead that goes through anything, especially giant man. Fantastic. You have a woman who can throw entire cars at people.
Well, she's just gonna get stronger.
Oh,
too.
God, terrifying and stronger too. I can't wait till she breaks in one of these movies and fucking just kills a shit ton of people.
She put the Vision through like 40 floors.
Oh, it's funny, and you hear the pool. Yeah. My favorite part is you hear him hit the pool. I was like, oh, that's the lap pool Tony was talking about. That's hilarious. But you have all that, and the funny part about like that whole thing, like Tony is like, I really want to see him fight Fing Fing Foom. Like, I want to see him fight a giant dragon with boxer shorts on. That's where I'm at with this. I was like, I want to see Tony fight Fing Fing Foom. He doesn't have to be, like, super big, but I do want him to be, like, building size big. It'd be hilarious. To me, I guess. I'm the only one that thinks that.
Yes, you are the only one.
All right. Maybe he'll show up in the second, now not called Infinity War, when everything just goes, we have 67 characters deep.
Let's talk about Spider-Man, the debut of Spider-Man, so we can talk about the Avengers boring movie.
Go ahead. Go.
No, just like lay it out, like how they debuted and everything.
Well, first off, they debuted it perfectly, because like the transition, you knew it was happening, because obviously he was debuted in the first real trailer, but I was like, I'm watching this movie, I'm thinking, when the fuck are they going to, how are they going to introduce him into this, you know what I mean? Like, we're in the heat of like the lines between the team has been drawn. Like, Cap's calling his people in.
Right.
Tony is now has to call his people
in.
So we know.
Yeah, I know a guy. I know a guy. Line.
Well,
yeah.
When Black Widow said we're seriously understaffed, it was like, oh, so perfect. Like,
yeah. But then the transition is like, you're like, okay, so we're gonna. This is like, I'm thinking in my head. This is where we're gonna see. Like, this is gonna see Spider-Man. Something's gonna happen, right? Pops up, Queens. I was like,
nope.
Okay, there we go. This is it. Like, we're in full force. It's not like one of those things like, I know a guy and they show a video or something.
Right.
He just shows the fuck up. Like, Tony Stark style, just like, he's like, I'm just gonna, I got somewhere to go. I'm gonna fly from Vienna to fucking, you know,
Queens,
New York. It's like, that's something that happens. But
then
that whole thing is like he
drooling over his over on.
Well, not even that. Well, yes, it's fantastic.
Which is hilarious.
But the best part is they introduce him in just like a walk month, like he's just walking into the apartment building, and then like goes in and he has a perfect Spider-Man line where he's like talking to Aunt May and just goes, "There's this crazy car," and just like smart boner. You know, he sees Tony Stark and he's like, "What the hell?" Because like a kid from Queens who has literally nothing shouldn't be being visited by Tony Stark. And then of course the whole like super obvious wink at him, like, you know, the the grant you applied for.
It's like, that grant.
And he's like stumbling over, really picking up on that. There's just the whole movie was well executed when it came to writing and how they pieced everyone together.
Then Stark and Peter Parker go into the room to talk about it, and Tony just pulls up videos. Rhetorical question here, but this is you, right? And it's clips of Spider-Man like in swooping
a shitty
in,
little PJ suit,
stopping a car, and they show his strength from
day one,
from the jump. Yeah. They show a car about to run into a bus, and he jumps in between it, catches it, picks it up, moves it, and then flies or webs off. And they, like, he even draws attention to it. So, like we were talking about before, like, they're really gonna like play with the fact that Spider-Man has super strength, which Kevin never really ever pointed out before.
No, you know what I mean? In fact, they even gave it a number. They said he's like 16 times stronger than something. Like,
he's the second strongest superhero in the Marvel universe, right? For scale size,
yeah,
right below Hulk.
What I also like is they actually make reference to how long he's been around.
Six months.
Yeah,
which means we're gonna get an origin story. But hopefully it's going to be a
already
short
kinda
one.
Already kind of into it. We're not
going to start with him not being Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We're going to get that, like, you know, telling of it I'm guessing, hopefully.
A Man of Steel kind of way.
In a Man of Steel, in that short form way where, like, it just flashes back to him slowly going as it trickles back. Now you're back at present day, you know? Right. Like, almost Quentin Tarantino style where, like,
well,
you start,
just gotta,
for, like,
I mean,
start in it.
Again,
yeah?
Flashback to him. You know, probably getting beat up at some point. Flashback to him or Uncle Ben dying, and then flashback to him, like, getting his powers, basically. Like,
what do you think about Uncle Ben?
Yeah, I was wondering that myself when I saw how young Aunt May was.
Well, I knew how young Aunt May was because I knew who Aunt May was.
Well, no, I didn't.
You didn't know it was Marissa Tomei?
I just forgot. No.
You knew.
Nah, you knew. We talked about it before.
I was excited.
Yeah, dude, because that means... his grandfather
Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci's gonna play Uncle Ben.
He's a little too old.
No.
Nah.
My cousin Vinny. They're in the same movie together. It's fine.
He aged way too worse. I was gonna say his grandfather, Sylvester Stallone. Oscar.
Keaton.
Yeah.
So. Cause Mr. Tomei is. Never mind.
My Keaton. Funny?
Keaton. Like, what type of funny am I? He dropped out.
My funny, like, were you reading a funny?
Talking to me?
Yeah.
It's
gonna be
interesting.
It's gonna be a small part, but it has to be played well. Because you know it's been done so many times.
And who's gonna play Peter's parents this time?
But Marvel.
You can have what's his gray hair that's always with
that narrowed it down.
Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts. Wow. Nice.
The best of the best Spider-Man.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's where I'm coming from. That's what I want to see.
Yep.
Jesus. Clooney.
Tommy, no.
Clooney's too big of a star.
Not at this point. Robert fucking Redford was the head of fucking Hydra, so.
True. Yeah, but that makes more sense. I mean, you really want to see George Clooney as Peter Parker?
Yeah, dude.
As Ben.
Yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah. I'd like to see him as his dad, tell you the truth.
That's the best part about what Marvel's done is they go out and they get these great,
really
not
great
good
actors.
Actors, great actors for kind of small parts, like Tommy Lee Jones,
Michael
like
fucking
Robert
Douglas.
Redford, like Glenn Close, like, you know, it's just ridiculous. Kurt Russell's going to be in the new one. Like, yeah, let these like old school, really like good actors come in, nail this part and let them go away.
And
like
walk into the sunset.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose if they would cast him as it, then they would obviously have seen something that they liked. So I would be right behind it just because
I forgot you don't like George Clooney. Huh?
No, it's not that I don't like George Clooney. It's
well,
just
Eric
my
like
thing.
Clooney.
My
Fuck
thing
Eric.
About even like George Clooney
or
is
Tom
that
Cruise,
yeah. He's George Clooney in every single goddamn movie he does.
He's not though.
That's what I would be afraid of seeing in this.
He's a swagger-filled gentleman, for
sure. Exactly. Like, is that he's just going to play George Clooney.
That's why I think it'd be awesome for him to be his dad.
You ever seen The Descendants?
Maybe. I don't
know. No, you haven't seen The Descendants because he's like the most drastically different George Clooney character.
Yeah. But if Marvel would suddenly say, hey,
Batman?
First off, hey, you're in stabbing distance of the guy, so you may want to back your chair and mic up a wee bit, because he is super stabby lives of lately.
Yes, I am.
George Clooney is is a better than good actor.
Okay. I'm not saying that he's a bad actor.
We'll say George Clooney, that gray-haired guy that's always with Julia Roberts, as he just said. You know,
Eric Roberts.
Well, you know, you said Eric Roberts. Oh. He was meaning George Clooney.
But it's going to be someone like that.
Would you want to see George Clooney as Uncle Ben or as Peter's dad?
Whatever gets him more screen time.
Honestly. Uncle Ben would get him more screen time.
Yeah.
Because you'd have the flashbacks.
I would probably, at that point, I'd rather see him as the parent, as his dad.
Yeah, he's like, I want to see him less.
It's not that I'd want to see him less. It's just that for some reason, like, he would seem to fit better into the father role. And yeah. I don't know, but that could be because of the fact that I'm so used to Uncle Ben being an older looking, you know.
Right, but
with Tomei being there.
This is the youngest
Spider-Man we've seen ever.
On the big screen.
Right? Yeah.
Because the animated one, they've done him as a teenager a lot.
Yeah.
Not that you sound like a teenager, because you sound like a fucking 30-year-old man every time you hear him.
Yeah.
I've got math class!
No.
What? Cast,
by the way, for...
Oh, Tom Holland was fucking amazing.
Very well.
I've only seen the kid in like one other movie, but...
Well, that's what I'm saying is that...
He did a good job of that, too.
Going back to...
Plus, Spider-Man Thor kicked the shit out of a whale. So.
If they were to suddenly say, yeah, we're going to cast George Clooney as Uncle Ben, I'd be like, okay, they obviously saw something.
Clooney's a really good actor.
Well, no, they obviously saw something that he's going to be really good at the part. I'm going to trust it because they have not failed in a casting.
Yeah, they haven't swung and missed yet.
Anthony Hopkins. Why did we forget about that?
Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins dressed as a fucking Asgardian.
You know what I mean? Like, you talk about, like, he's knighted, for Christ. Like, fuck, Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
God damn it, Gandhi.
Ben Kingsley.
You know what I mean? Like, they get all these great actors. Easy.
So I've been drinking.
They get all these great actors just come in for pretty small parts yeah. but... Most of them still reoccurring, like some of them reoccurring. Well,
I'd say, you know, Hopkins is the most recurring.
Yeah, but role. Yeah, fuck, Clooney even would be good now. I can't really think of anybody else now because he said Clooney, and I'm like, yeah.
All right, so this brings up a thought though. Thinking about Peter's dad, do you think they tie Peter's dad being a scientist and everything into the revolving door of old people
like an
within
old Stark person or an old?
They don't have to.
I don't think so.
I'm saying, do you think they would, though? Because, no. I mean, they definitely can.
They totally could. I mean, he could have worked with Michael Douglas's character. Yeah. Michael Douglas is another one.
Yeah. I said Michael Douglas.
Did you?
You did.
Yeah. I wasn't listening.
Obviously.
Side note, before I get distracted again. How fucking good was the CGI on Robert Downey Jr.'s face to make him young Robert Downey Jr.
Oh,
again?
Oh, creepy.
It was funny because I was thinking this when I was watching. I was like, oh, that's the one. That's the person they younged up because that's like their new thing now.
Yeah.
Or old up if you go by Winter Soldier. Because that's
Michael Douglas
did
it, too.
Michael Douglas did it. But I was like, when I was watching it, I was like, oh. And he got closer to the edge. Like when he leaned up against the thing, I was like, oh, that actually looks shittier now for some reason when he was standing still. And then I realized they played it up when they did that because... It was then you see Tony in the background and you makes it then you automatically go and it's supposed to look a little bit shittier.
But at first, when he pops up and he's talking to
him. So they've been playing this for a while because that's like 20 something year old Robert Downey Jr. Like he kept this secret.
They said they scan less than zero, right?
Yeah, less than zero.
Dude,
which is hilarious because guess who was in less than zero with Robert Downey Jr. Aunt fucking May.
Oh,
man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So crazy. I was like, did they do that on purpose? Make her feel better?
Yes.
She's like, yeah. By the way, Tony Stark, looking old in some of those shots, like when he's like that dejected down in his dumps.
On purpose.
Well, yeah, but I was like, they did a really good job of playing like, I'm just kind of in the dumps.
Robert Downey Jr. doesn't even look that
old. No, if you see him in real life, you're like,
you know what I mean?
What's up, vampire?
Yeah,
you hang out with the stat later? You jerk. But he looks too good.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but how did you feel about the lack of Pepper?
Well, I knew it was coming. There was like the events of Iron Man 3 is like told you that she was not sticking around. I was like, yeah, no, it's
too volatile.
Yeah, because like you see that, and like they even hinted in Age of Ultron that she's busy, and I was like, well, guess who's on the outs?
Yep.
Tony's not giving up. I mean, obviously, he even says it in Civil War.
Yeah.
Like, he breaks it down for you. I was like, feel bad for you all of a
sudden. Well, that's the other part. He wanted to sign the thing. He thought if there was some kind of structure, he even said it'd be the happy medium or whatever right, term he used to like make Pepper okay with everything too. Mm.
Which he knew in his deep down in his bones was never gonna be, like him being able to not be Iron Man was never gonna happen.
That's why I think he's gonna die in
they just need to make her rescue.
What?
They just need to make her rescue.
They could. But I don't like Gwyneth Paltrow.
At all.
Really? Most times. Yeah. It's funny because
I really enjoy her.
I thought
she was really good.
The thing is, I actually like her as Pepper Potts, which shocked me because that was my first, my number one thing about Iron Man 1. I was like, fuck, man, why you gotta put her in there?
Yeah. Cody wasn't happy. And
then I saw, I was like, oh no, that's a different Gwyneth Paltrow. Good job. You found a different one. Looks just like her.
It's her sister, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah. It's spelled differently. How's it spelled? With an extra E. Is that a thing? It is now.
Three Y's.
Three Y's? Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah. It's always a question.
Oh, Gwyneth Paltrow? Which one is it? It's Gwyneth Paltrow? Are you telling me or asking me? Yes. We don't know. But I really want to see Ant-Man and Wasp now.
Right?
You will.
Oh, God damn it. He was so... I wanted him so much more in that fucking movie.
Oh, my God. Captain America.
As soon as he gets out of the van.
I love you so much. Am I still shaking your hand?
Awkwardly long.
Hey, I know you, hey, too.
You're awesome.
You're awesome.
Fucking Christ. Paul Rudd nailed that shit, and they did so well. That's the other thing, too. Talking about the writing of this movie, in the fact that there's a fuck ton of people in this, which we say that it's actually a scotch compared to the next two Avenger movies, because 67-some-odd characters... 67 plus characters is all ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But, and it's not spread over two movies, by the way. That's like they're talking about those two movies. Like, those two movies are going to have 67. I'm like, that's two movies with 67 plus main characters in it. It's a lot. Dang, kids. Have fun playing in your sandbox.
Right.
But the way that they wrote everybody, like, they nailed, as we said, each Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther so well.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that they built, like, in 2 minutes, they built the strongest father-son relationship of any Marvel character you can possibly imagine. Mainly because up until the explosion, he's the only one that has a dad still. Right. It's like Disney.
And gone.
I guess you're off the mom thing, huh? That's cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they hate moms. Someone's mom abandoned him when he was younger.
Technically, they hate parents because they
didn't she die? Parents. She died when he was young.
Yeah, but she left her husband. Later, and then died from something. I don't remember what it was. Hmm. But he has a lot. He has a big daddy issue, but he has a bigger mom issue.
Oh yeah,
as you can plainly tell.
That's why a lot of his
altering
Disney
family,
stuff.
Yeah, right. Sleeping Beauty. Don't have a mom. Your stepmom. She's a bitch. Literally, she's trying to kill you. But they did such a good job like with those. But then you get like Spider-Man, who, as we said, fucking nailed it.
20, like I kept saying, 20 minutes with Spider-Man, and they already made the best Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And
Spider-Man. Like, amazing Spider-Man. I see what you're doing there. Mm. Webbed it all together.
Hey. But, I mean, I'll give credit. Like, my favorite Spider-Man movie is still Amazing Spider-Man 1.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
and I'll fantastic. Always like that movie. But, like, just a little bit of Spider-Man that we got... makes me think like,
oh, those ones are
Peter
garbage.
Parker is already a better character. Yep. It feels like Spider-Man's gonna be, but I'm gonna, you know, wait obviously till he has to carry a movie on his own and just not come in and be able to say funny things and leave, you know?
Yeah.
Unless it's all him making funny, which is not to cut you off when you finish your story. One of the lines that I thought was fucking perfect was right. Anthony Mackie's Falcon was like. Normally, you must be new to this kid. Normally, there's not as much talking.
Yeah.
I was like,
it's funny.
Because that's what he does.
Yeah, when he finally takes him out with the droid,
yeah.
And he just falls, just hearing him fall just made me laugh. He's like, ah! Yeah. I was like, you have web slingers. Just use them.
Then he leans over. And Bucky goes, you couldn't have done that earlier? He's like, I hate you.
Yeah.
That's so fantastic. But to what you're saying about they've done such
now.
Good job.
Easy.
He's
all
a big
fuckers fella.
Are drunk.
Saved by
hey,
the squatty box.
Drunk. No, it's like going on that. Like, yes, they did such a good job of giving us a 20-minute introduction to a character that everyone literally was like, "Oh, I'm excited to see in the Marvel Universe." literally destroyed what everyone's thought process was, like how good he could possibly be. But it goes to show you what I was saying in the whole thing is everybody they used, they did such a good job, and Ant-Man is one of them. They captured Ant-Man, like that version of Paul Rudd played in Ant-Man, the movie, in this little bit that he was in, even to the point when they're in the raft and Tony Stark's making the rounds, and he goes, Hank Pym said you could never trust a Stark or trust any Stark. And he goes, who are you? And he's like, and he's so dejected because he's like, he doesn't even know who he was. I was like, they nailed every time they give you a snapshot of one of those many characters that was in this, you got that character in it.
Right.
They didn't change the way that character was. And we've talked about it, like talking about comic books. Batman, for example, has 43 and a half different titles that he's in.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of them, it's a different Batman, right, but somehow is the same Batman.
Yeah, same guy.
You know, it's like saying if you gave me Batman Begins and Batman Returns, that's the same Batman. I'd be like, you're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way. But in this, it's like, yes, you removed Ant-Man from Ant-Man's movie and you put him in Captain America, same still dude.
Yeah,
he felt did. Like he was in that. Like you could have cut those scenes out of Civil War, somehow thrown him into Ant-Man's movie, and it would have felt fine. You would have been like, why is he in Germany all of a sudden and then back at Hank Pym Labs? Like,
that's a little weird, but at least the character's the same.
But the same, yeah, character's fine. Yeah. The editing is atrocious, but the character is fantastic. So I mean, it was so well done to it. And to Mike's point, though, that Spider-Man, god damn, it makes me so mad that I have to wait till next year.
Right. Because you just want to see it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go watch the regular Spider-Man 2 and then Amazing Spider-Man 1.
Yeah.
Like a handful of times.
Like, this is where we're going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch Amazing Spider-Man first and then Spider-Man 2 so it makes it feel like a sequel.
Yeah.
Not Amazing Spider-Man 2, though. Don't do that to yourself. Have you still not seen that?
Nope. Still haven't seen it.
Fuck, it's fantastic.
It's like it's got cool shit in it, but none of
visually,
it makes any sense.
Visually good,
but the story is horrible.
There's so many parts of the visually that makes me mad, though.
The actors even do a good job. It just none of it makes any fucking sense. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just we've talked a lot of shit about that movie in the past, so we don't have to continue doing it.
Yeah, go back and listen to those episodes. They're fantastic. It's episode 7.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I don't know what episodes they are.
8, 9, and 10.
I don't remember what we talked about like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-mm.
I barely remember what we talked last week, except for I knew we were going to talk about spoilers this week. All right, so we will go to the next big question. We'll end on this one. I'm pretty sure it'll fill the next 13 minutes or so. We'll start with Michael. No. Start with Joe.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
And he's back asleep.
Keep asking.
Okay. He's like, on. Talk so I can yawn. I can actually hear you yawning. It's pretty funny. So now that you've seen it,
mm-hmm.
obviously you liked it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to see in the next Avengers movie? From like this, but all other stuff. What do you want to see come about? Like, what do you want to see coming up?
Well, I definitely want to see the relationship between Tony and Captain America. And Cap.
Oh, they're going to fuck it out. It's fine. We don't know that.
But I mean, like, what are you asking? I suppose
Peggy's gone. Pepper's gone. It's like, yeah. Know their turn. Let's just fuck each other. No, but like, what do you, like, what? I'm not saying, like, what do you want them to do in the movie? What do you want to see next? Like, we saw Giant Man, which is fucking fantastic. What do you want to see them do with these characters in the next Avengers movie? Come on, you got to have something.
Just because I know that the next Avengers movie is going to be.
Whatever they call Infinity War 1 and 2.
Yeah, whatever they call Infinity War 1 and 2. I want to see, you know, just the more.
Like 3 years off now, right? Like, what's next?
2 years?
What do we have between now and then? We have Strange.
So next, so we have Doctor Strange later this year. Next year, we have Guardians 2, Thor 3, and Spider-Man. And maybe
Black Panther, right?
Black Panther. I don't know if that's next year or not. But if it is, that's 4 fucking Marvel movies next year.
Well, when are they? They said they were going to do a
Black Widow.
Yeah,
that's not until later.
Okay.
Most likely, we're going to see that in 2018 or 2019. Welcome.
I mean, I don't really care to know what like exactly what the characters will do. I just want a good story and great dialogue. And that's what they've constantly given us.
Well,
so,
the
I mean,
same writing team is doing this.
Yeah.
Is doing those two movies. So
I mean, there's nothing.
Those dudes are so busy right now. Like, I love the Russo fact brothers that they keep
throwing in Community and Lum in there too. Yeah, like that's fantastic. Keep seeing them pop up.
But it's like it's funny because the thing about like the Russo brothers would be like, we're gonna sit back and do like some special feature stuff that's gonna be on this Blu-ray and home release. You two writing guys, you should need to get back in your slave cave and start typing because you have two more movies to write. And we start shooting in November, so
good luck.
You know, somewhere in like the Marvel universe, like offices, there's just a file of like rough summary of what all the movies are gonna be coming out.
Yeah.
And I would just stab somebody just to be able to just go through and just read them.
I would fanboys the fuck out of it again.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
Who wants a horrible disease to die of?
Joe, it is.
No.
Nah, I think I'm pointing at Taj.
Why the fuck would you point at me?
Someone's got to die. That's what Joss Whedon told me.
One of the white guys.
There's way too many of us.
That's why one of you has to go.
Nah, it's fine.
We're going by movie rules.
Yeah.
It's a movie scheme, so
yeah,
der.
But yeah, cause you know somewhere there's just a paper is like, oh, next Thor movie,
just ratted Hulk, up fucking like Planet four Hulk page,
and, you know what I mean?
Like or not even four pages, probably like 40 pages. On. It's like got coffee stains on it, and like a
you know like
someone
this one,
dripped cheese from a burger on. They had to peel it off carefully.
But they did it intentionally. Like this is gonna look funny. It's gonna look awesome.
Cause like for Civil War, they just had a paper written down like. Tony and Cap don't like each other. Big fight. Rhodey crippled. Like,
no, I think Rhodey crippled is more of like one of those roll
and
the dice.
Black Panther, Spider Man, maybe.
Like, they have all the tertiary characters that don't have their own movie coming up. Like Black Widow could have been on that list, but now they're going forward with it. They're just like on a dartboard, and they're just like, "All right, hold on, fuck it."
Yeah.
Oh, Rhodey, you're getting crippled, buddy. Sorry. It could have been someone else.
He looked so old in that movie, too.
He did.
Hair is not
but
friendly
no,
to his face.
It's not even really that. It's because he doesn't look like... Again, like, they aged
Yeah,
Tony,
aged him up.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
God, he looked fucking weathered and beaten.
Especially
when
we had the crazy bionic leg things at the end.
Yeah.
Mm. Can Tony not build anything with glowy orb lights on it?
No.
Okay,
no.
He's checking.
Neon lights. No.
Not Someone neon lights.
No,
lights.
See, it makes it makes sense
because they're powered units
in Iron Man,
but not
it
when you're driving a car that's
sense.
Supposed to hide in the shadows.
Exactly.
But those ones were not supposed to hide in the shadows. They're supposed to sell toys.
There's no shadows in those movies because everything has neon lights on it, even spray paint.
This isn't Deadpool.
When a 40-year-old Ward fights with a broomstick in a fucking alley,
Deadpool. He doesn't know that he's in a movie. God,
he doesn't literally tell him a character in the movie that he's not talking to him.
Yeah.
He's talking to them, which is fantastic. I know we've talked about Deadpool on here before, but I've watched it a bunch of times since it came out on digital. And
the commercials they have now
is fantastic.
Oh, for the Blu-ray release, yeah.
But like the things that he says, you're like, I couldn't imagine they were actually gonna do any of this stuff. Like, other than the word bubbles, which I still think would have been hilarious to have in there. Or like a narrator over the top of it that's not his voice, like an old English, like Michael Caine over the top of it type old man. But like when he says shit like that to like Colossus, like, who are you talking to? He's like, I'm not talking to you. He's like, I'm right here. He's like, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them. I just want to see the other half when he's like, Colossus is looking at him and he goes, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them. And points at nothing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh God, I want to see that so bad. Like, makes
looking
me laugh.
Hilarious.
So back to the new Avengers.
Secret Avengers. Sorry, that's my...
The new Avengers movie, sorry. Yeah. I've always looked at it as, like, this is kind of, like, a finale and their chance to reset everything. Because, like, these characters can't play these characters forever.
Yeah.
So in my head, which I could be wrong, but in my head, there's going to be quite a bit of people leaving after these two Avengers movies.
Depends on the timeline.
Like, I know how contracts work and blah, 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 blah. But I'm thinking, like, that could be Tony's last ride. That could be, obviously, Rhodey's. It could, like, a lot of characters that we're used to in the Marvel universe right now going away. And them kind of just resetting with, a new Avengers team, a younger team, maybe.
Speaking of younger teams.
Or, like, if like Tony Stark, something happens to Tony and he kind of takes more of a like a Oracle
old
role,
man Batman,
you know what I mean?
Maybe accidentally gets shot and crippled.
Mm.
Rhodey's like, how's it feel, fucker?
Yeah.
Except for not Vision. Like, oh, God, Vision. Good thing he barely missed.
Yeah.
Fucking right? Christ. He brought a snapped tower down, dude. Jesus. Turn him into a glider. It's like, you could have shot something a little less powerful, thrown a rock, anything, nah? Crazy head laser? No, what I'm saying is, completely on topic, of course. Speaking of new teams, did you see that thing going out about Sebastian, the guy who plays Bucky, looking exactly like young Mark Hamill?
Yeah.
Have you seen that picture?
They no.
Someone Photoshopped, like, basically swapped, like, there's an old promo picture of Mark Hamill as moppy-haired Luke, Tatooine Luke, basically, and they basically took that and they put Sebastian Stan's face on it, and it's creepily the same.
Hmm.
Like, he even has the little butt chin, like the little divot in the chin. And it's like, oh, if they need a young Luke, they kind of have one. Like, he's in the stable already.
Hmm. Yeah, you'll have to show it to me when we're
on
here.
Oh, yeah, it's fucking nuts. Mike looking it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike's got you.
All right.
All right, so I'll pose my question to Taj.
Hold on. Who dies, though? Who dies in the new Avengers? Or but, do you think they have to reset?
I don't think they have to reset at all.
I think they have to
reset.
No, man.
Either, I honestly. Do. Not at this point. I mean,
we're not only, at this point. We're fucking well, I mean, 10 years into it. Like,
when it comes to the age of the 13 characters,
years by the time it comes out.
And stuff like that, I just don't think they have to.
No, I don't think they need to.
I mean, what? The second Infinity Wars movie is what? 5 years away?
Three years away. 2019.
That's just the timeline so fast. I don't think
literally like 2019 because it's like this year. There's this time of year, 2019 because it's 2 years from now is Infinity Wars Part One, whatever they're gonna call it, Secret Avengers. The second one comes out a year, almost a year. Like it's like 13 months after. Later. So if like if Part One comes out this time in 2 years, next month will be 2 years. Would be 3 years from that. Yeah.
I age-wise, I don't see them needing to do
that. No, they don't need to reset them at all.
I think. Oh, that is creepy.
I think they're going to.
No, it's weird, right? Because like, if you didn't tell
like,
someone,
give him a little bit better shave, and
yeah, like if you didn't tell someone that's what it was, you're like, look at Mark Hamill with a little bit of beardy beard, and you're like, oh,
it's a little done up.
Yeah, but it's like they did. Like, the Photoshop is fantastic on it. Yeah, you need a job at like Target because they keep fucking shit up. But like. If that caption didn't show you like this is Sebastian Stan as like you know like you like I'd have been like, what is that like? Is that Lucas didn't make him shave to baby face in that time, or is that like he started to do coke and heroin then? Like, is that like him off on a weekend in London? You know, like, dang. And
just
then some like
on a binge.
Yeah, and then someone put a picture of Bucky Sebastian Stan, just like the headshot they used for that. Without the Photoshop, next to that same picture of Mark Hamill, and I was like, "Oh, you don't need Photoshop at all. Like, you make him grow his hair out to be shaggy, and
I think
not, like,
this
long.
One's better, though.
Oh,
is that the Steve Buscemi one?
Yeah.
It's super creepy, right?
Yeah,
yeah, crazy eyes. Yeah, my Oregon French fry pizza.
It's like if he got into even more of an accident.
Yeah, like if that motorcycle would have burst into fire, mm-hmm. for sure. That's basically what he looks like at the end of Guyver if he didn't turn into the turtle monster.
Oh yeah.
I love that movie. We've been talking about that lately because the Power Rangers outfit looks like Iron Man and Guyver fucked and had five multicolored babies. It's true. It just looks like the Guyver just took over Iron Man's factory and said, I'm making shit ton of armor.
Right.
Two for girls, three for dudes. And put a galaxy in the middle.
Yeah.
I think it looked dope. People have been pissed off about that. Those outfits.
What do they expect them to look at? Like that's the same people who got pissed off that the turtles were CGI'd. I'm like, oh, you want to throw them in shitty rubber suits again?
Did you see? Have you seen the picture comparison of the new suits versus the first actual live action movie they did?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that will make you think like these are so much better.
Yeah, well, because the live action.
Yeah,
because
if you go back, it's literally like they made spandex suits out of pleather. Yeah.
It was basically the same suits from the show, just new and like a little bit.
No, the suits in the movies were pleather because they were shiny.
No, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying.
It looked like someone took like a shitty couch and just cut it into Power Rangers outfits.
So like the X-Men?
Yeah, for sure.
Nah. Yeah. X-Men movies suck.
Yeah, they do. But yeah, did you see it? Did you find it?
No.
Oh, I thought you were looking.
I'm glad, by the way, that new X-Men movie is getting shitty reviews, but that's not going to stop anybody from watching it.
No, yeah.
Watch this one might actually be the best one.
Yeah, it's funny because I was going to... I told Ken through a text message you can't trick me this year. I'll go with you anyways. Because I don't want to feel like an asshole again by getting tricked. Stupid wordsmith.
Yeah, he got you good though.
Fucking such a dick. Like I want to, now that it's getting shit on, I want to go see it. And if I enjoy it, I'll be like, well, this is what you guys had to do.
Yeah.
Because First Class, as Todd said earlier, garbage. Critics loved it. So did a bunch of fans. I don't understand it. And then like they're just getting worse, and they keep getting good reviews. I'm like, how is this possible? Like, have you got? Did you watch the whole movie? Did you watch like a supercut? No, none of it. Okay, that's
watch
cool.
Watch the teaser trailer.
Yeah, like we watched that one where they showed McCavey in a wheelchair for the first time.
We're like, yay, Professor X.
No. Bald or with hair?
10 out of 10.
McCavey or Stewart? I get confused by the timelines.
Yeah. Wait, does he have powers or is he drunk? Does he have hair? Is he bald? Is he in a wheelchair?
Does he somehow...
Or can he walk? I don't know because you keep fucking going back and forth with it.
Somehow a weird magical shot makes his legs not work, but his brain
Yeah, Kevin Bacon can make him crippled, but all of a sudden he's fixed in the next movie and he gets crippled again. Oh, no.
He stops taking a weird drug and he becomes crippled, but his brain works again. It's like,
oh, and Beast. Yeah, Beast can also change whenever he wants to, too.
Yeah,
he just
for
has
sure.
to take this super, like...
Stop taking it.
Unsuper...
Basically, the Alice in Wonderland, like, you take this, you become hairy. You take this, you become unhairy.
Those references were awesome. Deadpool.
I hate the X-Men movies.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, and speaking of that, I think we said it on this. I don't think we said it.
I'm okay with them.
Yeah, of course you are. Like them. If they have hot ladies in them, he's going to watch them. Fast and Furious.
That's the only reason why I watch movies. Dick.
It's the second biggest reason.
Third. No, I think it's number one of three.
You saw. Good story, hot dudes. Hot ladies.
Gotta get the balance.
And they keep throwing Hugh Jackman in them, so I'm gonna keep going.
Hugh Jack me off, more like it. Sorry. You love it.
No, I don't.
From dudes.
No.
I'm not gonna say you're gay, but you definitely like dudes and ladies. I said dudes first because it's the most important, as Mike said in the list. But speaking of X-Men movies, in seriousness though, like in the serial. Is anyone else get pissed off that they gave away the fact that Hugh Jackman, or at least Hugh Jackman's hand, Wolverine's hand, makes a cameo?
No.
Like, it...
Why would people even care? He's made a cameo in every single one of them.
Yeah, he's been in all
Well, I know that, but it's like, you want to... Like, it'd be fun as a surprise. Because the people who go see these movies literally watch these trailers and these clips all the time because they're like, oh, I love it so much, somehow.
Is it really a surprise, though? Would you have been surprised?
Not at all.
I wouldn't have been surprised.
I would have been surprised to see how they did it instead of seeing exactly how they do it. Like, for example, First Class, his cameo in that, they did not precedent before anything.
Right.
Well, also, he didn't do anything but say fuck off.
Yeah. Which is the best one. The best.
It was
thing
the only,
about the
only good, the second best part about that movie. But
second best part?
Yeah, because I really liked Magneto and X.
Well, yeah, but it's not enough for me to care about that movie.
Because it was really only, like, the dialogue between the two was really only, like, 15 minutes worth of the movie.
Rest of it's garbage. I'm going to hold all these missiles. And that's it. All right, I'm done. Motherfucker just pulled a gun. Sorry, it just makes no fucking sense to me. I'm weak in my knees. You pulled a fucking submarine out of the goddamn water. Ugh. What? Yeah, he did. Like, that thing was on its way, and he's like, nah, motherfucker. You got my helmet! Somehow. I don't know why, but it matches my outfit already. Sorry. The movie makes me mad. Yeah. Oh, did you see speaking of other X-Men news, before we wrap it up. Did you see the official announcement from Fox about two movies? So it's official Wolverine's they're going to give it the okay to go rated R. Like, it's official now.
I heard that.
The other one is, the next X-Men movie is going to be based in the 90s.
My problem with the first one is that, great, they're going to make it rated R, but because you can't do the writing and the storytelling very well, it's not going to matter. It's
but
gonna
at
suck.
Least, at least, there's hopefully... Wolverine can go straight berserker on people and murder the fuck out of them.
Oh, no, that's
and
going
I will
to
go
happen.
Watch that if it's promised to me.
That's going to happen,
delivers.
But that doesn't make a good movie.
still be the best one they made.
Movie. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nah, it still doesn't really make it a watchable movie. I've seen a lot of Steven Seagal movies. There's a lot of murder and blood and shit.
That's not a
fair comparison. And they're not good movies.
That's not a fair comparison.
It's a fair comparison because...
Like, X-Men 2. Like, imagine X-Men 2 if he was able to like, kill people and you could see it. It would have been fucking amazing. Like, just his scenes alone, you know?
Nah, I don't think so.
You don't think it would have been good?
I don't think X-Men 2 was good. I don't think it enhances the movie.
You talking about X-Men 3?
No, I don't think it enhances
the movie.
Yeah, it does. It enhances his character. That's how the character is.
But it doesn't enhance the movie. It doesn't enhance anything.
What he's saying is...
It's just saying that Deadpool did really good on rated R. Well, let's make a... Let's
no,
make a
but I'm
movie
saying
movie
worst
on rated
case
R.
scenario.
No, they're saying
they give
that
me dope ass
that
accent.
That it could be successful, yes. But their track record with Wolverine has been great. Because you can still do a PG-13 X-Men Wolverine movie... And it can be great.
Yeah, because they did two.
But
and then stopped, apparently.
Yeah.
But without that writing, without those good plots, the less plot
the holes
and
characters.
And the characters and
saying,
stuff,
the stuff that's
just because you throw in
together.
Violence doesn't mean that it's going to be good.
But I'm not disagreeing with you on that. All I'm saying is, worst case scenario, with a rated R Wolverine movie, we get to see Wolverine do what he does in comic books. And that would be fun to watch.
But it's still not going to draw me to the movies.
I'm not saying it will. I'm just saying at least.
Movies, no, I go to the movies like almost every Sunday. Almost every Sunday.
Almost every Sunday. Unless school gets in the way.
Unless school gets in the way. What was the other second one?
About the next X-Men movie will be set in the 90s.
We'll set in the 90s.
So if you look at the track record.
What was.
So track record is go 60s for
basically
the 70s.
And
80. Well, no. See, what the thing is, Bryan Singer came out, is he's going to work on these until he gets to the beginning of Days of Future Past. That's where he wants to go.
You guys an idiot.
That's
duh.
Didn't he do the first two?
Yeah.
Like so, how?
And then he lost his goddamn mind.
Is he going to link those ones together? Those
no,
are canon.
those are canon, but they are now erased due to
because
the fact what happened with
Days of Future
Days
Past.
Past.
Yeah. Okay.
But he wants to basically loop back to the future they showed before it went, you know, hopefully if they write it properly. What happened in the beginning of Days of Future Past won't be happening, but they'll be in that same time frame.
Okay.
That's where he wants to go. So basically, it's going to take him the next 15 years to move up 20 years in movie time. Because we're now in the, we're going to be in the 80s this year. We'll be in the 90s in, what is that, 2-3 years? How many years has it been between Days of Future Past?
Two?
Two?
I don't know.
Two.
I don't remember. Whatever. I think I made two. By then we'll be in the 90s, and then after that we'll be in the 2000s, and then gotta wait till 2030 something, whenever that happened. So yeah, it was really bizarre to hear.
Yeah,
they're already saying like, yeah, the next one will be set in the 90s. Is there a reason why?
No,
because this one's set in the 80s.
Like, we're going in line, guys. It's hello, 60s, 70s, 80s, and then 90s. That's next. Duh. Then we're gonna jump back to the 1930s. When none of these people were born.
Oh, but they will be.
Oh, yeah, what I'm saying. They'll have a different one. They'll be like...
No. They'll be like, this is...
That's when Rogue gets born.
This is Scott Summers' other brother, Jim Summers. Like, they're going to make up...
He has
another
brother.
I know he does.
And his
Professor X sperm. Just moving around.
Another bald
wheelchair.
Yep. But a power wheelchair. His little tails don't move it forward.
No, I'm just
can't he use his mind to do that? His mind doesn't work that way, kids.
They're gonna fuck up the storyline even more.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
I'm telling you, man, just kill it. Kill it dead. Give it in this day and age, you don't even need to give it time to breathe. You could say this is the last X-Men movie and recast a new one tomorrow and people will be ready for it next year.
Well, duh, because those fans are ridiculous.
So I want to harken back real quick to the talk of Avengers and ending that. I'd like to play devil's advocate and say that I would like to see this be the end of the Avengers.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because as much as I want to see... Well, no,
this end. Tells the end of their story.
This is the end of their story.
Boom, we get to Infinity War Part 2 and we're done.
For one... How much longer do you want to sit here and see all of the Avengers movies? And, you know, Captain America and Thor, all the individual movies. I'm sure you're going to say, and I'm looking at Cody, absolutely, I want to see this stuff until the end of time, you know, which would be amazing. And, you know, you'd have to go through different... but not possible. You'd have to go through different characters. But what I would like to see is, and this would never happen, or maybe it'll happen because of Spider-Man, what if Marvel got a hold of the X-Men?
You'd have to start completely over.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm completely okay with that. Because if you do that...
So you could end. So you end this run of the Avengers, and then you actually get a hold of the X-Men property, and you can actually do them properly, and then you start their own stories.
Expanding world.
Expanding world, and you can still throw in Captain America and, you know, all the other Avengers and stuff like that, and you can have those movies, but you're focusing more on this other thing that's going on,
or
the X-Men,
or on that same process, because I do. Your answer, what I was going to say, is correct. I do want to see them until the end of time. I would love to see the fact that Fox finally wises up, which we all know is not going to happen, until the old guard is completely gone and the new guard comes and goes, hey, guys, you know who makes a fuck ton of money? That Disney crew?
Yeah.
And we have something they want. So we do what Sony did, which we as of right now is making a fuck ton of money already. Mm-hmm. We should still hold on
our characters,
but we're gonna let them use them, yeah, and then come over here and make a movie for us.
We'll just make
where we literally don't have to do anything,
exactly,
except for count the money they give us.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that process.
Yeah,
but I still want to see more Iron Man, and I still want to see Captain America have their own movies, because I want to get to the point where it gets to an Avengers versus X-Men.
But yeah, and that's what I mean. They can
do
that, but you
can crew.
But you can reboot. You can get a different crew. I know that. I know that Chris Evans has said that he wants to do Captain America
until the day he dies. Literally the day he dies.
And I know that Robert Downey Jr. is in talks to do more Iron Man.
Yeah, he's always in talks to do more Iron Man.
But with this end, you don't have to kill everybody off.
Yeah, Mike.
But you can still just. You can still do an alternate. You know, this is now an alternate universe. You know, you don't have to explain it as that.
I don't want to turn movies into comic books. I don't need 14 different storylines at once of the same characters.
Who said that once? He said end and re-begin. Or
yeah, but alternate. You have an alternate universe. They're going to get greedy and fucking put out both at the same time.
What he's saying is, yes, you can still have Chris Evans play Captain America.
In one aspect, yes, you could.
But he wants to see them then shift the focus from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as of right now, is the Avengers Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, right.
Transition, like, yes, this 20-year fucking movie plague that we've been on, we're done with them in a way. They're still going to trickle through because we got, like, you know, Guardians 3 to worry about and,
right,
like, you know, Black Panther 7 stuff.
Because that stuff takes place outside. I mean, it's
but
within the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
we
but it
take
still takes
this,
place outside
we
of
take
Avengers.
This clout, we move over to this section. Same universe, like... This this Avengers, and then this we go. Hey, we have X-Men properties now. Let's do this.
Yeah, so we start to focus more on the X-Men side of things.
I get what you're saying.
You know, you can play it off like you did with Spider-Man, where just 6 months ago is when I started being Spider-Man. No, I mean, in this case, it could be
so Wolverine.
They started
No.
Well, they've been there, but they weren't something that was out in the public up until you really have the big fight.
They do what they do
with
Spider-Man?
With the Infinity Wars or whatever it's going to be called next, you know, and the Sokovia Accords actually helped to bring this out, where that there are more people that with these incredible powers, and calling them mutants, and now you start getting into the people hate mutants, and you can go into that direction and build a very awesome, you know, universe there off of the first one, and then, you know, if they want to, they can focus on doing an Avengers versus X-Men type
I would
thing.
Totally watch all of them, obviously, because that means X-Men's in the hands of somebody that could do a good movie. But, like, to me, it's like you're too deep into this universe, I think, now to introduce mutants.
But no, I don't think so at all.
And
because you
I don't
can
know if there's
you
a
can
timeline set for that, so
you can bring it out right now. Just like I said, because of the Sokovia Accords, you know.
There's a lot of smart minds that aren't in this room that could do that, for sure, I think.
But, I mean, to me, though, like, mutants go back so far. All the storylines go back. I mean...
As you know them, but that doesn't mean they have to necessarily follow that timeline.
Well, see, what he's saying, though, is if,
like, Magneto needs to be a Holocaust survivor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right. He had to have done stuff, then something would have been reported. I mean, they dealt with Nazi Germany. You know what I mean? Like,
so you're saying that he has to be known already?
Well, no, he has to be a, like,
something.
Their world, happen, like, you know, like, what I mean? If someone, like, if Charles Xavier existed in the Avengers world and he had those abilities and he had those people with him, he'd be like, yo, you know that giant robot guy who has metal in him? I know a dude, kind of edgy, not really a good guy.
You can control that.
Probably destroy that guy pretty easily. You know what I mean? Like, that would happen. That'd be a thing. So I get what Mike's saying. I'm really excited about what Joe's saying. Because I really want to see.
I mean, I would, but I would forgive it,
but it shifts the focus away from all the Avengers, and you're no longer getting Captain America, Iron Man.
Play Tony Stark and expect him to be like.
Yeah, I mean, as much as that he really wants to.
I mean, as much as I think Hugh Jackman is the only good thing in the X-Men universe, basically, that dude's been playing Wolverine for 20 years now.
Oh, he's already said he's done. Well, he's got one more until Marvel comes over.
And if you look at pictures from when he started, a baby faced fucking new actor to now, and he's old as shit. It's grizzled.
I mean, still in great shape, obviously.
Well, that's why his end should be could just be like an old man Logan type thing.
Which would be dope. But
again, you can't.
All I'm saying is, like, I feel like you're just. I would watch it. Obviously, I would be into it. But I just feel like you're so deep into this universe, and to have the Avengers be the well-established entity and mutants being like the new, it just seems weird to me. I think
within this universe you could play it off like that, you know. Who knows? You may have to change some backgrounds. You know, you're saying that that Magneto, and I'm spacing out on his actual name, has to be a Holocaust survivor. You know, well, if he's not
Michael Fassbender.
Well, no. Or, I meant like
Eric.
Eric, yeah. You know, you're saying he has to be a Holocaust survivor. Yeah, like
Maximoff.
That's his original story, but does he have to be? I mean, there's got to be some other thing that you can. I mean,
why
granted,
would he be so fucking worried about being labeled as a mutant? Then, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like all that is so ingrained into that character that's like saying, like,
there's been. And like, this is going to completely, like, just generalize things, but there's, over, you know, the years, there's always been somewhere that there's been mass genocides.
Yeah.
You know.
You could be a Kiwi.
Whoa.
A little furry? Oh, okay. Sorry. Furry.
Yeah.
Thing.
Weird little fuzzy.
Do you eat
fruit?
It? Does it fly? I don't know. Where
you have
the
to feel it first?
Kiwi?
It's only has a weird little thin beak that eats.
Okay, so we're talking about the actual bird Kiwi. Okay.
And he can control metal objects. Yeah. So it's a wee little helmet.
Dude, talk about an angry bird.
Right?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I still want to see that movie. I said it out loud. Watch the new trailer. You will change your mind.
Trailers have been surprisingly funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, when I heard about it, I was like...
I giggled the first couple times, but the one I saw in front of Jungle Book, and then again in front of the third viewing of
Captain America,
I think.
Yeah, we saw it in front
right,
of
yeah.
Cap.
That one made me go, oh, wait a minute. No, I want to see this movie.
The part where the two birds are swimming in the water and they're all, oh, don't spit it in your mouth. Don't spit it in his mouth. Yeah. What are you doing? And then the eagle comes out and is just like, relieving himself into the pool. And you're like, oh.
You're like, holy shit, that bird is pissing into their water in a kid's movie. This isn't Sausage Party where it's literally a rated R animated movie about food being masticated. This is eaten. It's
no,
person,
I know.
Because masticated sounds
worse.
That.
Well, explain it to Joe. Why don't you explain it to Mike?
Mike was giggling. He heard they're masticating. He's like, he said masticating. It sounds like masturbating. He got the joke. I was hoping Joe, sometimes Joe does not.
No,
get
I was like,
jokes.
What would a, no, I knew that. I just was like, what would a movie about that look like? Like, I don't know.
Sausage Party?
Yeah.
We saw a trailer for it already.
Yeah.
They're eating babies! Fucking babies! Like, oh my god, dude, that line still makes me laugh. And the fact that the potatoes are Irish. Shit is so inappropriate. My fucking skin! Oh, god damn it. That movie's probably gonna be fucking awful, but I still want to see it because it looks hilarious. You were saying, go ahead. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt
what
you.
What were you saying?
No, I
about the Angry Birds movie, I was saying. You're saying
I was going to just point out for the last time that I don't know how much more I could really want to see individual Captain America, Iron Man, blah, blah, blah movies, and then Avenger movie. I don't know how much more I really want to see of that before I want to see actually something else. I know, like I said, Cody, maybe even Mike and Taj here will want to see like till the end of time.
No.
But that's what I'm saying. So now you shift focus towards another property if you can get a hold of it.
Yeah.
You can still have all those other characters in it, but you're shifting focus, so you're giving the audience something new, and you're giving them something better than what they've seen before.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is, more than likely, that's not going to happen. So how do you think they're going to play it? Do you think they're just going to continue to...
I think, like I said, have to kill... Well, some people have to die in the next one.
Yeah.
Like, somebody has to fucking go. And not,
we're gonna Joss Whedon the shit out of this.
Well, but that one was shitty though, because you killed off a brand new character that
you built so much fucking effort into making.
I know,
and then but then didn't even like give it time. Like, if you would have given him a couple movies to be in and built up the connection with the audience, people would have felt it. Like, I feel like it was a wasted death.
Yeah, it was.
You know what I mean? Had they done Rhodey, had they done Hawkeye. Black Widow, it would have hurt more.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, it would have, and people would have
no longer
like,
seen that character.
I don't
want to
watch anymore because he killed off my favorite character. Fuck those people. They would have come back, and then that would have been like a real death they had to deal with. They didn't even mention him.
I was prepared for Captain America to die.
Well,
Hawkeye did.
In just in passing to her, but it was nothing. It was just a throwaway scene.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, like, I mean, no, because that's why Hawkeye was there.
Because he felt bad.
Well, you know, he owns a life debt to her because of her brother.
But he could have, had that death not happened, very easily could have came back.
Still
you know
the
what
same
mean?
Thing, yeah.
Because
just because Captain
you know
America
mean?
Like,
well, yes, you're saying he's not mentioned in it, but they use him.
They
and,
cheaply use it as, and but it's...
As a bridge, basically.
Yeah, as a bridge, which was smart, but that shows how little of importance that character was that... It doesn't matter.
Well,
his death didn't matter
at all.
To
that point is that it's mentioned by a different character rather than
her. Coulson's death was a bigger deal.
Yeah, rather than her. It's her brother.
Yeah.
You know, you think at some point that maybe she would lament that,
like,
she misses
him. Like,
when
they're all talking about, this kid, like, when Tony's talking about this kid that died that was building houses for the poor, like, how about the dude that was helping you, too?
Yeah.
Also died, but nobody mentioned it then.
Mr. Speedy?
Yeah. Flash? It was like R Flash? What was his name?
I don't think they're allowed to say that one. All right, so to answer your question, all right, so say we get to the end of the Avengers run with the end of Phase 4, right?
Without.
So one and two. We'll say without X-Men, because Fox is dumb and probably not going to happen.
They're still making a boatload of money, though.
Yeah, they're still making a boatload of money. Plus, they have
bombs as bad as Amazing Spider-Man 2 bombs.
Yeah.
They're going to keep making it.
Plus, I mean, they have TV shows planned and all sorts of shit going on, right?
I think even if it bombs as bad as Amazing Spider-Man 2 bombs, they'd still keep making.
Well, they'd just reboot it, the Fantastic Four. And they're like, no, we didn't make that movie.
Never happened.
No, what I'm saying is, so you have to look at it this way. Yeah, so the Avengers side ends at the end of Part 2, right? So you have whatever they call it, Part 2. What happens if you make that transition over to these other ones they've been making that all have to be space-based and outside the world, outside of the humanity-based? You have Guardians. You have Captain Marvel. You have the Inhumans. What happens if that's their next focus for Phase beyond whatever the fuck they have planned now? I'm saying this because if you look at the time I have going, all these movies at the end that aren't really... yes, they're tied to the Avengers, but they're not Avengers,
right,
are in this own. They could literally just... spread that focus that they had so intently on these ones over those ones and do what Joe's saying
without X-Men,
because at this point they can't plan for that. They can't, like, yes, I'm guarantee you somewhere in a vault with a little notebook that has all the fucking outline of these ones.
Breaking
is,
case, we get X-Men.
Exactly. There's a little locked box case slid in there that everything's piled on top. It says, in case of X-Men, open. But then it's like got layers of dust, and that's actually
open
on
it up,
really
it's
old
just this gold ray.
Yep, and then it's one sheet of paper floats up and goes, whatever the fuck we want.
That's what was in the suitcase.
Quentin knew it. He's like, I want to make one. You're too fucking crazy. Nailed it. But yeah, they could easily transition over to have that
reset.
Though.
I'm thinking, like, I exaggerate when
it's not even a reset. Like, you could literally do what he's saying and be like, yes.
But it's a reset in terms of characters going forward. You know what I mean? Like, you take a couple that are already there. Like, Black Panther is primed to be the new captain, basically, of the next set of we'll say of, like, the next set of Avengers, if you want to even say that. But like
the newer Avengers,
the newer Avengers. Ant-Man is primed to be the comedic relief and still badass going forward. But like, at some point, you're like, we don't need 14 fucking people on our team, because that means not everyone is gonna get a fair shake during the movie, and someone's gonna be left out, and Tony and Cap are gonna be overplayed, I think, at a certain point. You know what I mean? To where it's just oversaturation. And I also think they need to do something different in a, maybe not tonally speaking, like the tone of the movies or like the feel of the movies, but something different has to come on to keep it fresh and exciting. Cause like I said, if it's every other year, Captain America or Iron Man, and then the Avenger movie, or, and now Captain America movie is just an Avengers movie. You know what I mean? Like, what's going to stop the next Iron Man movie from just being another Avengers movie? Like, I don't want to see everybody all the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get that for sure. I had a weird thought. Can I get a Shane Black directed and maybe written buddy cop movie with Spider-Man and Ant-Man?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Absolutely.
How opposed would you guys be to, like, you know, you go off and do the space thing with whatever characters you need, and they have their own overarching storyline, and then you go to the Black Panther and you have the more Earth-based stuff, and they have their own overarching storyline that never meets up. So you don't have the Avengers
as of right now.
You don't think that's
Thanos
is bringing everyone together.
Yeah, still Thanos plan is on the big bad. I'm saying that these universes never cross each other. Or if they do, it's sometime down the road that they finally decide, okay, let's cross them over. But, you know, you think that they would be too confusing to have people, you know, with
different arcing storylines? Yeah, maybe.
You know? Would that satisfy the itch where you want to see, like, the Captain America and Iron Man every once in a while, but you still want to see, like, a different... different storylines and stuff?
I'm just worried about, because we've talked on this podcast before about, like, superhero fatigue and comic book movie fatigue. Like, there's maybe not comic book movie, because there's a gajillion comic books that they could do, but superhero in general, like, not only is Marvel doing two movies a year, there's still X-Men. There's still, you know what I mean?
Like, but getting into the space stuff, I would never really consider, like, Guardians of the Galaxy a superhero movie. You know, I mean, it's a comic book movie, definitely. I mean, we're going to get into arguing semantics when you talk about superhero movies.
Well, we're also going to say, like, super,
you know,
superheroes to me are Earth-based people who have, like, super crazy powers, but when you're in space, like
especially when you go into the sci-fi era,
it's
sci-fi.
That's what I mean. It's like those, like, I'm saying, like, yes, it's still considered a superhero movie because you have a tree that can regenerate itself in a crazy raccoon and a dude
who's,
like,
super
strong.
On whatever planet.
Exactly. So that's the sci-fi of it. What I want to see is I want to see them transition from that Earth-based Avengers line using the whatever happens in part two of whatever they call it or whatever they end up calling it to then, like, yo, boom, here it is. Because in that time frame, we're going to have a shifting of that super role. Like, we're going to have the Black Widow movie. We're going to have the Black Panther movie. We're going to have, if you ask me, a fucking Hawkeye TV show, but that's just me. You have a chance to do something like The Runaways, which technically you don't need the X-Men for. It's all based in the Avengers world that you can literally just continue going on. Now, Runaways, to me, needs to be a TV show more than a movie, but you could do like that whole, you could finally do that bridge gap that we want to see is a true TV show to movie relationship, not a, hey, Coulson started in the movies, went to, you know, TV, and they kind of talk back and forth. You know, like a B, somebody from Thor shows up, or, you know, you get a mention of Captain America on a newspaper, that sort of thing. I say you do that cast you see you have in a 13 episode Netflix show. We say that safely because Netflix, obviously that's their partnership right now, and it's going oh so well that you give them that show, and at the end of that 13 episodes, something leads to a big screen movie that they now have a cemented deal with, because Netflix is now putting things in theaters.
Yeah.
That you could do that, and then the next season that comes out has ramifications of what happened in that movie. And they're their own little world. They never have to see Guardians. They never have to see Captain Marvel, but that bitch wants to show up. She can show up. That bitch knows how to fly. She can do whatever she wants. Black Panther could show up. Why? Because he's a dude in a black suit with badass claws that takes fucking heat from helicopters without batting a goddamn eye, which I don't think he can actually do because I never saw him move.
Mm-hmm.
I did see a little bit of like flashing of, oh, shit, maybe they were right and Bucky didn't do it what I thought and that dude behind the glass was it. But I digress. But like, I would like to see that where like they go, if they don't focus to this space stuff, which I think they really should build more on that half of it because there's so much you could do. Nova. But I would love to see like them expanding the universe more without having to focus on the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
They're still there, like you were saying. Unlike he was saying, because he just wants to murder everybody and start fresh with something else. Goddamn crazy.
Not everybody. Some people.
Like a murder, death, kill.
43 of the 67, they're all going to die. They're going to die. But what I'm saying is I want to see them not shit.
Thin that out a little bit.
We need like 12. And two or three of them.
Two are reserves.
Yeah, they ain't there all the time.
They don't even get to dress all the time. They're there in case of injury.
Yep. They're like, we hope Steph Curry blows a knee. Is Ant-Man's suit not working? I'm going in? Nope. I'm sitting here. Who wants orange slices? I don't know why he has a Brooklyn accent. It was weird to me. But I would like to see them expand on the universe, but also expand in their footprint in how they use it, too. Because you do have awesome TV shows being made that, as of right now, we don't actually have confirmed that they're going to be anywhere but on the small screen.
Right.
Which I think is a shame. But to Mike's point is they don't have to.
Yeah.
To draw off that, do the TV shows ever have to make reference to what happens in the bigger movies? Because, and I ask this because this goes back to the whole X-Men, you know, introduction thing into the way I was talking about things. You just introduced Spider-Man. Okay, he's been there for 6 months in Queens.
So that means the next Punisher and Daredevil
has to include a mention of Spider-Man at the very
least. They already have. Raxxon Corporation is one of his biggest villains.
No, but you have to have, because that
Spider-Man reference.
Yeah, that could
always, not a nerd.
That you could easily do that.
But that's what I'm saying. You have to do it.
Yeah.
You have to. It's like same way with the first season.
No, I know you're okay with it.
They referred to the events in Avenger as what they call it,
the New York. It was the New York incident, but they've never
attack or something like that.
But they've never made mention about what happened.
And the one thing,
Captain America, Winter Soldier.
No, they did.
Did they?
Yeah.
Very briefly.
Well, I haven't finished.
But that one went directly. But like that was huge in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. though.
Yeah, it doesn't affect them in New York so much.
Did you finish Jessica Jones? Because she talks about S.H.I.E.L.D. and Jessica Jones.
No, I didn't finish.
Because they refer to her as she once worked for a shadow government agency. And I was like, that's fucking S.H.I.E.L.D. without saying S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think I was on episode 6. Episode 7. Like
okay.
That.
Wait till you get to episode fucking 9, dude. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, definitely not that far. And,
that's a goddamn jumping big show.
Daredevil, I'm on episode like 3 or 4.
Of season 2.
Season 2.
So people don't think he's way behind of season 2.
No.
Joe's way ahead of schedule at this point.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, though, is it would be cool to see them spread their wings a little wee bit, you know, and give that bigger aura they have. Like, they already have the stepping stones. But to your point... Yes, mention Spider-Man for sure. It'd be hard. I mean, it's not going to be harder to put him in there. Like, Punisher and Spider-Man often run into each other because they're
same city.
Right fucking there. Like, Hell
City's in New York.
Well, Hell City, no. Hell's Kitchen is literally down the street from Queens. Like, the
Tattoo Expo?
Yeah. Literally like, you should sponsor us, Derp. They're neighbors, like they're right there. Like Hell's Kitchen is just a shittier part of Queens, basically. Yeah. They're not. I'm not saying they're the same city. No one from New York, because I know we have listeners there. I'm not saying the same city. Just saying, they're very close. You can Uber from one to the other, but most likely if you go from Queens to Hell's Kitchen and Uber, you're going to get mugged.
By your Uber driver.
Most likely. No one's going to know. Stab, stab, stab. Money, money, money. You already paid
immediately
on the credit card.
As soon as they cross over into Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, you're not
going to tip
me?
I want all your money.
Yep. But you could do that. But then the same thing is you have, like, when you do something like Daredevil and you do the Defenders and obviously Iron Fist and now Punisher have his own series, and you have, I'm going to say Power Man because I can't think of his name right now. We all know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Big black guy.
Big black guy.
Power Man is his name.
It's funny because I actually know, but it's funny watching
Cody not know it.
Yep. Anyways, so him, obviously they're going to, like Iron Fist and him are going to team up, right? That's the thing.
Yeah.
But who doesn't say that, you know, Hulkling shows up from the Runaways and is like, I'm in Queens. Where's my friendly neighborhood Spider-Man? And then, like, you know, a bus gets caught by a web and he goes, ah, there he is. He's busy. I'm going to go shopping. You know? Like, just fun. I'm not saying a whole episode of that. I'm just saying he
can
do that.
That would be awful.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Roll credits.
It's like, oh, is anything at the credits? No? Okay. But the other thing, too, is like we were talking about the inclusion of stuff from the world. Is anyone else mad that you never saw anything about the Stark Tower, Avenger Tower in the first season of Daredevil?
No, yeah.
Like, I can see the city skyline.
They showed it in the poster.
Yeah, it's like I saw in a news article.
It's right there.
Like, the disaster's right fucking there. There's the tower. Nothing?
Nothing.
Okay, that's cool. It's hidden by a building.
It's always hidden by a building.
For our perspective, because it's closer and it's bigger. We forgot.
Stark Tower is still the beacon, but not.
Well, it's Avengers Tower, but it got a wee bit destroyed. I don't remember that or not.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And they skedaddled out of there because that thing was made of glass. Their new one, like remote area, way less damage. Someone wants to attack the Avengers facility. Well, tall this way. It seems to be tall that way because Vision found the basement.
Yeah.
All 14 of them in the pool. But anyways, I would like to say to Devil's Advocate is what you used earlier. I would say don't kill off a shit ton of people. Yes, a few of them can die.
A couple have to die, though.
Okay, fine. Joss Whedon, it's cool.
No, because Joss Whedon didn't even do it right.
Joss Whedon, he's like, we're going to introduce all these new characters. All of them die before the end of this movie.
And those are your new characters that die. Those are your characters that die.
Yep. But to also
we're
go off what
them and then we're gonna kill them.
Yep. What Joe is saying is
they're all wearing red shirts. That was a giveaway.
Their uniforms are red. There. Why? Oh,
oh.
Not because of Deadpool's reason to wear red because they're Star Trek rules and them is dead as shit. I mean to again Devil's Advocate, I would like to see what Joe's talking about. Obviously, X-Men's probably very last case scenario, but I would like to see them expand on either the space half of it more, like there's tons of them, the intergalactic type stuff, but also like the only person, the odd man out of this whole thing is Doctor Strange, because Marvel doesn't have a lot of those magic, that kind of magic users that they focus on, because his is a different type of magic, like multiple dimensions and things like that. Right. But
maybe
he's the conduit to a
X-Men?
Weird. Not well, even X-Men, but like a different space. Avengers team. Or
well, not even
space.
That, but I'm like, you know, he does do space stuff. He does do stuff on Earth. Like, he could be your conduit.
He does all sorts of stuff. That
he could be
crazy.
Your conduit that just shows up in different the different series every once in a while.
Just saying. It's a big, crazy world, kids, and they ain't going to stop anytime soon.
Nope.
But we are.
Too much money.
2019. Ain't the end of nothing.
We're going to stop right now.
We have another 22 minutes.
I don't see that. It's 0:38:47.
Yeah, we got plenty of time.
Yeah.
Just kidding. All right. Mike's giving the wrap-up signal. So,
it's more like the wrap-up stare.
Oh, no. The phone got put away, so that's the wrap-up signal. Look, where's his phone? Because he's
gone.
Ready to leave.
Gone.
So that's it for this week. We didn't actually spoil nearly as much as I thought we were going to.
We gave away all the.
We
gave every important.
I didn't
part
tell
away.
You about how Howard the Duck killed everybody.
Right.
But we'll leave that for another day.
You can't spoil that. That's a big fucking dick move if you spoil that.
Right.
I mean, I didn't mention that
right.
about that. But next week, if someone wants to remind me, I'll tell you the story about what I did to somebody at work, which was fucking hilarious. But we'll save that for next week, kids. This week,
that guarantees it will not be on next week's episode. That pretty much if we promise it in this
we week's promised episode. This last week and we did it sort of.
Oh yeah.
See? I mean, boom. But, broke it.
But that's to, you know, coincide with a release of a Marvel movie. We always follow up with that.
That's true. That's anyways. So we are comes naturally. We be
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody, and again we were joined by
Taj.
There you go, kids. And as usual, you just came naturally.